and welcome to The Turbulent World with me, James M. Dorsey, as your host. The Gaza War has turned Palestine into a lightning rod for mounting frustration and discontent in Arab autocracies such as Egypt, Jordan, Tunisia, Algeria, and Morocco. Concerned that the war could mobilize segments of civil society, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, where any form of political protest is banned, have cracked down on expressions of solidarity with Gaza, including the sporting of keffiyehs, the checkered scarf that symbolizes Palestinian nationalism. In December, pro-Palestinian activists at the COP28 climate summit in Dubai faced unprecedented restrictions, including prohibitions on flags and explicitly naming a country in news conferences and scrutiny of their slogans. In January, the Red Sea Film Festival in Jeddah, the biggest film event in the Middle East and North Africa, welcomed Palestinian cinema, but banned the donning by attendees of keffiyehs. Like in the second half of the 20th century, protests in the Middle East beyond the Gulf in support of Palestinians and against Israel's assault on Gaza are as much about the war as they are about anger at government's faltering economic performance. Nowhere is the anger more acute than in Egypt, where the country's currency slipped this week sharply against the U.S. dollar after the central bank raised its main interest rate by 600 basis points to 27.75% and said it would allow the currency's exchange rate to be set by market forces. Hard hit by the wars in Gaza and Ukraine, the government expected the measures to stymie Egypt's 31% inflation rate, attract desperately needed foreign investment, and tackle its staggering shortage of foreign currency. Egypt has suffered from a loss of tourism, significantly reduced Suez Canal shipping revenues because of Yemeni Houthi attacks on commercial vessels in the Red Sea, rising wheat prices in the wake of the Ukraine war, and economic mismanagement, including investment in mega projects such as a $58 billion new desert capital and granting military-owned enterprises preferential treatment and an oversized stake in the economy. The floating of the pound secured an expansion from $3 billion to $8 billion of Egypt's International Monetary Fund, IMF, bailout loan. The IMF agreement cemented a recent deal with United Arab Emirates to develop a prime stretch of Egypt's Mediterranean coast with a $35 billion investment over the next 2 months. While not officially announced, well-placed sources said it was understood that the deal was contingent on Egypt reaching an agreement with the IMF. Gulf states, including the UAE, have in recent years backed away from pumping funds into black holes. Instead, they increasingly link investments in countries like Egypt and Pakistan to economic reforms and prospects for a return on investment. The UAE pioneered the approach when it based a government minister in Cairo immediately after general-turned-president Abdel Fattah al-Sisi's UAE-backed coup that toppled Egypt's first and only democratically elected president. The UAE official attempted to nudge Mr. al-Sisi towards economic reform. "We work with the International Monetary Fund, and according to its rules, the days of unconditional assistance are over," Saudi Finance Minister Mohammed al-Jadan told an investment conference last year. Last week, 45-year-old policeman Abdul Gawad Mohammed al-Sahlami was alone when he staged a one-man protest, waving a Palestinian flag atop an advertisement billboard in the port city of Alexandria. But many Egyptians were likely to have been with him in spirit. "Many are angry that Egypt's Rafah border crossing into Gaza remains closed, despite the images of thousands of Gazans dying and imminent famine. In October, the government sought to preempt potential protests by staging pro-Palestinian demonstrations of its own. Mr. al-Sisi believes that pro-Palestinian activists who were allowed to stage protests under former President Hosni Mubarak shifted their focus in 2011 to his regime and ultimately toppled him during the popular Arab uprisings. The revolts also led to the demise of autocratic rulers in Tunisia, Libya, and Yemen, and sparked mass anti-government demonstrations elsewhere in the Middle East. To be sure, Egypt is worried that Israel's destruction of Gaza is an effort to rid the strip of its population by inducing Gazans to flee to Egypt. Officials in Cairo also fear that Hamas operatives could infiltrate the Sinai Peninsula, where the military has been countering a low-level insurgency. Mr. al-Sisi's government is wary of Hamas because of its links to the Muslim Brotherhood. Even so, Egyptians resent the government's close security ties with Israel and its support for a 17-year-long Israeli blockade of Gaza that has been tightened since the war. Mr. al-Zahlami shouted, "God is great," and denounced Mr. al-Sisi as a traitor and an agent before being arrested by security forces. The Egyptian Network for Human Rights, ENHR, said Mr. al-Zahlami has not been heard from since. The network quoted a friend of Mr. al-Zahlami as saying he was breaking down because of the war, which he described as injustice. Mr. al-Zahlami demanded that the Egyptian borders with Gaza should be opened to allow Gazans to escape the carnage, ENHR quoted the policeman's friend as saying. The IMF's austerity program could push struggling Egyptians to a level of destitution not seen since the Egyptian bread riots of 1977, despite the government's insistence that it will put social protection measures in place to shield the most vulnerable. The rising cost of basic goods has deepened the hardships faced by middle and lower class Egyptians. They have suffered from price hikes since the government embarked on an ambitious reform program in 2016 to overhaul the battered economy. Nearly 30% of Egyptians live in poverty, according to official figures. For now, Egyptians, like others elsewhere in the Arab world, fear that uprisings would only enhance the chaos already gripping their part of the world. In Egypt's case, the question of Sisi's future will arise when Egyptian citizens decide that they have nothing more to lose, said Israeli journalist and Middle East analyst Tzvi Barel. The same is true for much of the Middle East beyond the Gulf, with widespread public frustration at Arab states' inability or unwillingness to alleviate Palestinian suffering as the joker in the pack. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed today's column and podcast. The Turbulent World with James M. Dorsey depends on the support of its readers. For the past 12 years, I have maintained free distribution as a way of maximizing impact. I am determined to keep it that way. However, to avoid putting up a paywall, I need the support of a core of voluntary paid subscribers to cover the cost of producing the column and podcast. If you believe that the column and podcast add value to your understanding and that of the broader public, please consider becoming a paid subscriber. You can do so by clicking on Substack on the subscription button at www.jamesmdorsey.substack.com and choosing one of the subscription options. Thank you. Take care and best wishes.